Good afternoon, everyone. If we could all get seated and we'll get this next presentation started. As you can see, the next presentation is an entry requirements comparison between FIPS 140-2 common criteria and ISO 19790. This is brought to us by Richard Wang and Tony Apted. Richard is the FIPS laboratory manager at Gossamer Security Solutions. Before joining Gossamer, he worked at Leidos Labs as the lab technical director, and he's been performing FIPS 140-2 and FIPS 201 product testing and evaluations for 10 years. Tony is the CCTL technical director with Leidos. He's been involved in trusted product evaluations for over 25 years, first with the Australian government and now with NIAP. So, Richard.
Thanks, Ryan, for the introduction.
Welcome.
Okay. Good afternoon. Today, Tony and I will give a presentation about the entropy requirement comparison between FIPS, common criteria, and new ISO 19790. Just before the start, just give you a little bit of background about why we think about this topic. In my past testing experience, we heard some voice from our vendors about the entropy justification document was accepted by one scheme, but got some questions or comments from the other one. So that's why we thought about this topic, and we just want to give high level description about the differences or similarity in between those three standards. Okay. The topics today, my section will cover entropy overview and entropy requirement in FIPS, and also the entropy requirement in ISO 19790. Tony will cover entropy requirement in common criteria. So probably if I run too much time, please just let me know. Okay, thanks. First one, just like this is very, hot topic, entropy. What is entropy? So, the entropy, just like you can see, that is the measure of the disorder, randomness, or uncertainty in a closed system. Or you can say, briefly speaking, like how we quantify the unpredictability. So it's like, this is entropy underpins the cryptography. As everybody know that, in cryptography, this area, the key was generated, and the key was used to encryption decryption to protect your sensitive and valuable information, and the entropy was the root of the to see the approved RNG, which was in turn to generate the keys. So that's why the entropy is very important to the cryptography, this philosophy, and on the poor entropy can undermine security. So in that case, we can say that the larger the amount of the entropy, the greater the uncertainty in predicting the value of an observation. So we're talking about the definition. Next, we just like how many components in the entropy source. So from here, I list there are four different components. Actually, I make a question mark on the second one later. Next slide, I will show you the diagram about the entropy source block diagram. So just we can see that the noise source, post processing component, health test, and the conditioning. This block diagram I grab it from the second draft of SP190B, which was currently available online right now. So you can go to there and to find out this diagram. Compared to the diagram, the entropy source model in the first draft in SP190B, there's a new component which is called post-processing, this component. So this is a new one. So let me talk about this a little bit later. The first one, let me just give you like high-level introduction about this noise source. So the noise source not only for the cloud, the one in the cloud side, but also cover the whole dash block. It should include the non-deterministic noise source mechanism, and also plus digitization component, and also plus this new component which is called post-processing. The post-processing, kind of like some simple post-processing operations, which can reduce the statistic bias or increase the entropy rate of the sampling result of the result of the output. However, so based on my understanding, the benefit of putting post-processing component here was because, you know, from the diagram you can see that the raw data is output from the post-processing. So in that case, after using the approved the methods in the post-processing, the entropy, the raw data can have like a, you know, good values if you are using the Python 2 to test entropy, because the Python 2 is required, the data must be raw data instead of the data from output from the conditioning component. Okay, so once the data output from the post-processing, you come into the Hell test. The Hell test, actually, Hell test is used to ensure that entropy source and also the noise source keep working properly. And also, the final goal of using the Hell test is to catch if any failures happened, so the module can the error can be caught quickly and with a high probability. So before output, before seeding to the DRBG or FIPS approved RNG, it's currently only DRBG. So that the raw data has been go through the conditioning component, which also reduce the bias and increase the entropy values. However, based on the description in ASP.NET 90B, the conditioning component is a deterministic function. So I think that's the reason the FIPS is not allowed. So ASP.NET 90B is not allowed that the entropy assessment values grab it from after conditioning. Yes. So a little bit post-processing operations. This is optional. Not all sort entropy source require this post-processing. And this is like three approved post-processing functions was defined in ASP.NET 90B, second draft appendix E, so which are called the von Neumann's method, linear filtering method, length of run method. So if you are interested in any of the methods, you can go to the second draft. However, based on the recent the ASP.NET 90B released, this is still the draft, second draft, released by NIST CT group. So they ask the public comments about whether this one is necessary or not. So we don't know the result yet. I think in the next release, they will decide whether they keep the post-processing component in the diagram or just remove it. But it is the optional. This is like a post-processing. So regarding the measurement to the entropy is a hard work. It's very hard to get a good entropy or bad entropy. So currently, there are some metrics to deal with that, some result for the Shannon entropy, the Rini entropy, and the mean entropies. And so currently, the FIPS highly recommended using the statistic, using Python 2 to do the statistic testing, and you know the result can be submitted to NIST for entropy validations. So until this point, I believe from each standard, either FIPS common criteria or ISO 19790, all entropy generation, validation, testing are based on ASP.NET 90B. So I would say until this point, no differences in between. Okay. So next topic about the entropy requirement in FIPS. In FIPS, there's the DTR, the direct DTR is called the derived test requirements. Assertion 7.13 require that compromising the security of the key generation methods as sure as require at least as many operations as determining the value of the generic keys. So previously, sometime long time ago, just like we think about this assertion ask to compare the key size actually from the key generate the key and also the C side. Actually, like several years ago, CNP they clarified this IG is really wants to lab and the vendor to provide more information about how your entropy was collected, generated, and how your entropy sources was constituted. So in that case, IG 7.15 provide a very detailed instructions or guidance about how to assess the entropy. There are list of three different scenarios. The three different requirements. The first one is ask a lab or vendor to provide a detailed logical diagram. So the diagram will include all of the components, the entropy source components, and the source, and the mechanisms that constitute entropy source. This is like a detailed diagram. And also, just to keep in mind that the logical diagram only submit to government validating body, which is like from FIPS as CMEP. It's not to the public, so shouldn't be in the security policy. Second one, test their arguments in support of the accuracy of the vendor provide the rationale. Some of the vendors, they provide, okay, so the module or entropy can just like up to 256 or maybe 512 bits entropy. However, the lab, we need to, as a lab tester, we need to provide the justification about how this 256 or how this number was achieved. Just we need to provide our justification to identify the number is accurate. Okay. Statistic testing, currently from IG 7.15, this testing is highly recommended, but not required. So in order to, get benefit from this testing, so we just, I think we would recommend it, doing the test. Currently, the SP190, Python 2 is the one defined in SP190B is recommended. Vendor can use other two. However, you need to convince the lab and the CMVP about your result, about how your result meet the can identify your like 256 or 512 entropy was obtained. So there's a special case like for some reasons, if vendor they are using the hardware entropy source from the third party. However, the third party they don't provide the required or associated document, technical document. The CMP, so to get this problem resolved, CMP, the 7.15, they gave a exception for that is CMP allowed vendor affirmation this document by the end of this year to allow vendor to affirm how many entropy from the third party. After December 1st of this year, CMP still can accept some the discussion, but that will be like a case-by-case situation. So in the vendor affirmation document, should be contained estimate, assumed amount of entropy from the third party, and also contain the statement to let user know, okay, the residual security risk that may result from the incomplete testing of this third-party entropy source. Finally, vendor need to sign the document. So once we got entropy tested, some of the information or caveat must be paid attention to both vendor and lab. CMP NIST or FIPS require that the minimum key strength in FIPS mode is at least 112 bits. Otherwise, the module cannot be validated by CMEP. tend to be caveat for, you know, there's the various scenarios. You can see that, you can find most of two popular caveat on the CMP website is about the module generator keys whose strands are modified by available entropy, and also no assurance, the minimum strand of generic keys. So, Tony, one more minute, so good. Just like today's, I just want to share very good information about ISO about, you know, I checked there's three clauses talking about entropy. However, you know, see from my slides, I found each of the slots very, very similar, were covered by the FIPS. So that's why I believed when FIPS 140-3 adopted information from ISO 19790. So if your entropy design currently was passed the CMVP review, you should be good on the ISO. This is a reference site. Also, I want to share one information from this morning's talk given by Mary from NNAT and Matt from NIST. So NIST and CMP and NIST and NNAT, they already found out this, the problem of that's the things I talked about during at the beginning of my talk. In their slides, there's a very important, the bullet saying that they work together to eliminate the duplicate work. That is make me very excited and very happy to see the future, you know, the result of their working together. And also one of the audience this morning asked a question, just like something, they want to get the entropy justification document reviewed by one scheme and also accepted by another one. Hopefully we can see some results soon. So next one, this is a contact information from most of the information was supported by Ed Morris. He's sitting over there. Thanks, Ed. And also, any question or other information want to chat with us, send email to one of us, should be fine. So next is Tony, please.
Thank you, Richard. So I'll get into this fairly quickly. Some background. So common criteria part two, talking about common criteria requirements for entropy. The common criteria has three parts. Part two is a catalogue of functional requirements that can be claimed for a product during a common criteria evaluation. These functional requirements are high-level statements of security functionality that you can claim for a product. They include requirements for cryptographic key management and cryptographic operations. They're pitched at quite a high level of abstraction. You can identify a particular type of cryptographic operation or cryptographic key management aspects such as creation, transport, destruction. There are no specific SFRs for random number generation. You could use the generic cryptographic operation functional requirement. There's no specific SFR for entropy. However, the common criteria does provide a mechanism to define new functional requirements. NIAP, in their process of creating technology-specific protection profiles, introduced entropy requirements. They specify functional requirements and related assurance activities for defined technologies, for example, for network device and mobile device. The network device protection profile 1.0 defined an extended functional requirement for random bit generation, which also specified entropy requirements. In that version of the protection profile, you had to have a hardware-based noise source. You had to provide a minimum of 128 bits of entropy, and 256 bits was required if you were generating equivalent strength keys. And you had to provide documentation that described the entropy source, the entropy rate, and the known failure modes. In June of 2012, NIAP updated that protection profile to version 1.1, and among the changes, it allowed for software and or hardware-based entropy sources, and it expanded on the assurance activities that were required for demonstrating the implementation of the entropy or documenting how that was done. These expanded requirements were derived from SB 800-90B, at least the version that was available in draft at that time. And briefly, those required a design description of the entropy source. That description needed to cover how the entropy source worked, how entropy was produced, and how raw entropy could be obtained from that entropy source for testing purposes. The documentation also needed to provide an entropy justification. That's a technical argument for the unpredictability and the expected entropy rate being produced by the noise source. A description of the operating conditions, including the conditions under which the entropy generation was expected and any known failure modes. And then a description of any entropy source health tests that had been implemented. At that time, there wasn't a requirement to have health testing because the standard on which all these requirements were based was only draft, and it was felt that we can't, you know, require these things to be produced if there's no actual standard for them to be measured against. So the vendor will provide to the evaluation layer this entropy documentation. The current operation of these reviews is that the entropy documentation has to be reviewed and approved before the evaluation can formally commence. The process is the evaluation team will review that document and submit it to NIAP as part of the evaluation check-in package, which also includes the common criteria security target for the product. The NIAP will assign a validation team to that product, and the validators will perform an initial review of the entropy documentation, and then subject matter experts at the Information Assurance Directorate perform the detailed technical review. Comments and responses between all the various parties are passed through the chain from the IAD back to the validators, back to the evaluation team, and back to the vendor. And if there are changes required to the documentation as based on those, then the vendor submits the document back to the evaluation team, provides it back to the validators, and they send it back to IAD. Based on their experience with reviewing entropy documentation, NIAP has subsequently published some clarifications and guidance on the entropy documentation and the assessment requirements. Identified that there were differences in understanding of vendors and approaches to entropy documentation. There was a recognition of the difficulties of documenting third-party sources, especially hardware. You know, we found a number of vendors taking advantage, for instance, of RDRAND. There is some publicly available information about how that entropy source was actually implemented within the chip and what entropy rate you can assume is providing. The content of this clarification of entropy requirements was eventually actually incorporated into the entropy documentation requirements for the network device collaborative protection profile, which is now the PP that's the approved NIAP protection profile, and it's approved for for evaluations across the mutually recognised evaluations across the common criteria recognition arrangement countries. Some practical issues with this approach as it applies to the common criteria evaluations with NIAP. These the actual entropy assessment review cycle. I don't know that there's a method of making it more efficient. It just seems to be a fact of life for us at the moment. Something that both Richard alluded to as well, and we heard comments earlier in today, is inconsistent reviews. You know, and I'm not in a position to say whether, you know, an entropy document might have been approved as part of a common criteria evaluation and knocked back as part of a CMVP validation, or vice versa. We just know that it's happened. And something that, you know, I'd be interested to know this because I haven't heard much discussion about it, is who is going to be responsible for entropy assessment reviews in non-US schemes? At the moment, it would be NIAP if you were doing a common criteria evaluation against collaborative protection profile. Who's doing that work in the UK or in Australia, Malaysia? Come and let me know. I'm interested. In the future, though, I think the good news, at least within the US scheme, is my understanding is that NIAP will rely on the NIST entropy source validation testing when that becomes available. My understanding is that NIST is looking to set up that validation scheme as soon as practicable after SP 800-90B has been approved and published as a formal standard. Are there any questions for Richard or myself?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes. You can take one or two, just short. Yeah, if there is anything.
Good.
If not, I can introduce the next speaker.
Oh, we got one.
Yes, you mentioned the I think three types of entropy: the Shannon, min entropy, and
I think
what's the other one? Anyway. It seems that the focus is on min entropy now. I wonder if you could explain the thought process, why they've evolved a great interest in min entropy and not so much in Shannon entropy, which was traditionally more, well, seemed more rational to me.
Yeah, so that's a good question. So from my understanding is those three different entropies, it depends on your entropy source. So if your entropy source is ID source, you can just test it by using the Shannon entropy to get the average values. However, if your source is non-ID source, so I think the best value to convince the user is using the min entropy. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Richard and Tony. We appreciate it. Get the next set of slides up here. Is that you?